Coming up on This Week in Radio Tech, we are live from Madison, Wisconsin at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Broadcasters Clinic. Chris Tarr will be along shortly, plus a whole bunch of guests, and we're going to do a big giveaway for some people right here on the show floor. It's coming up next on TWRT.
This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, savings, and support, online at bgs.cc. By Broadcast Bionics, with the Bionic Studio, including talk show control, social media, and visual radio, Broadcast Bionics brings exceptional audience engagement to radio and TV. By Angry Audio. Audio problems disappear when you get angry at angryaudio.com. By Nautel, worry-free transmission you can count on with outstanding control, reliability, efficiencies, and Nautel's unmatched 24/7 customer support, online at nautel.com. And by MaxConnect Wireless, prioritized high-speed internet service designed for transmitter sites and remote broadcasts.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech. We are live in Madison, Wisconsin, and my cohort, Chris Tarr, is right here with me. Normally, I have to look at him through the computer monitor, and here you are.
And you know what?
What?
Once, the weather is the same.
For both of us.
For both of us. That alone is pretty impressive.
Oh, my goodness. So, Chris, tell us about where we're at. Why are we here together?
We are at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. They have a broadcasters clinic. It's a once-a-year event over 3 days, and it starts out first day is radio, second day is mixed, third day is TV. This started many, many, many years ago. I can't even go. It's 50 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And it was actually the FM clinic.
Yeah.
It was actually part of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Oh.
Their FM engineers got together, and they decided to have, from all over the place, they decided to have this convention where they did teaching and some other things like that, that eventually evolved into the Broadcasters Clinic. And it's put on by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. It's a little bit of a trade show, a little bit of learning. We have sessions over 3 days, technical
yep.
sessions. And then, of course, you know, where we're at right now with the exhibitions, exhibitors.
I've noticed that almost every year now, they've asked me to come speak, and I'm honored. But they always put me the first slot on the first day. And am I just the warm-up act for the main event? And that's fine. If that's what it is, that's fine.
Well, yeah, we knew that, like, the first session on the first day, there's nobody there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, perfect place. No, I mean, Jeff Walton is another one.
Yeah.
You guys are kind of the staples of the program. So we know that putting you guys in early on will get people in the doors. So we actually like you.
So yesterday you were, what, moderating or introducing people?
I was introducing.
Uh-huh. And then today, what's your function here today?
So today, I did two different sessions. I did a panel on saving AM radio or discussing AM radio.
Uh-huh.
And then I did a second one solo of EAS and talking about the changes coming up in EAS for everybody and for the state of Wisconsin. We talked about, you know, how the national test went and, you know, some of the things going on with Amber Alerts, those sorts of things. So I was actually, you know, for almost an hour and a half, was up on stage with a microphone. So it was a little hairy.
How was the EAS received? Because you did something similar in Nashville, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It was actually almost the same presentation with the addition of talking about the results of the national test. And from what I hear so far, it's been all positive, which is great because I'm not comfortable doing that.
Did you get to attend the session last night?
I did not. Those are always the best.
Yes, and we ended up had a group that just had to go get some dinner.
Yeah, they have on Tuesday nights, they have what's called Nuts and Bolts,
uh-huh.
which is a very informal. They serve beer and brats. This is Wisconsin. And it's really just kind of an informal.
What, you mean that there was food here?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we didn't have to go anywhere for food, did we?
You did not.
Oh, gee.
You know, just you got to.
I got to read the program.
Get you hooked up.
Yeah, okay.
I'm on the board here. I can, you know. On the committee, I can hook you up.
Well, wait a minute. I don't have an excuse, but neither do you.
I know. Well, I was working. I was hired.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of work that goes into this. We have an amazing, amazing program committee. We started our work shortly after the last clinic and started planning for this year. And just like with any other, you know, thing like NAB or whatever, we have a call for papers. You know, and when we have our standbys, we know are going to. We can just ask.
Well, if nobody fills this slot, there's always Kirk.
We know we can get Kirk to come out. And it, you know, it really is a, it's almost an entire year to get this set up and get all the programs set up. So just being here, I'm, you know, taking count for different sessions and introducing people, and this year doing a couple of sessions with it. So it's been a little crazy.
I tell folks, in yesterday's session that I did, I of course talked about virtualization like I always do. I had some video clips of engineers and station owners who are now using some of these things. And we did a live remote broadcast, if you will. The cool thing was we did that broadcast. It's laying somewhere else around here. We did the broadcast with a Chromebook.
Yes. Yeah.
$269 Chromebook that has a touch screen.
Right.
And we just I literally opened a web page that I know to open. Yeah. And we were talking back and forth with the control room.
And it was pretty amazing, you know, and a lot of eyes opened up as you stood at the podium with this Chromebook in your hand like this so everyone could see.
Yeah.
Talking back and forth and adjusting the faders. And those are the kinds of programs that we really like, because, you know, part of the job here is education. You know, not only is it, you know, a trade show and that sort of thing, but we really value educational programs here. That's really, we're more of an educational program surrounded with kind of a trade show thing. But, you know, all of the programs we do are really based around education, whether, you know, some new things with audio over IP or even browser-based controls. We've got some sessions on, we did EAS, we did regulatory stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of different virtualization, security, all those sorts of things. We want people to learn something while they're here.
You had a panel on AM, the future mm-hmm. of AM. I'd like to hear about that, but I have a job for you. It'll be very well paid.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about Nautel for a moment.
Yes.
And I need you to go grab some of the people around here.
Sure.
Now, there's Kevin over there. This is his booth. We're in the SBE's booth. Kevin, gray-haired fellow, black shirt.
Oh, Kevin Ruppert.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, Ken. Yeah. And might want to say
Bill.
Something. Bill is here. And I was hoping Bill could go wrangle a couple of people, because there was a line over here, and then they saw we weren't started yet. So, hey! Selfie city. All right. So remember to take the headphones off, because I don't have the headphone disconnector with me right now. And you got 60 seconds to get 5 guests. Okay, here we go. Hey, our show is brought to you in part by Nautel. Thanks, Nautel, for sponsoring the show. And Nautel, they're a sponsor here. They have been for years and years. In fact, Nautel was honored yesterday during our luncheon for consistently sponsoring this show for so many engineers, and it is a big show. So Nautel is, of course, doing their Transmission Talk Tuesdays. They're doing 2 of them this month, October the 17th. So that's coming up, in a week? Less than a week. It's next week. And October 31st. Both of them were talking about transmitter site considerations like antennas and lines and combiners, inspecting these things, air handling and cooling. That's coming up October 31st. So now remember, a Nautel Transmission Talk Tuesday, it's not a webinar. It's not something that, well, you can sit idly by and just take in the information, but you can also raise your hand virtually and ask questions. You could even submit a question beforehand. And if you want to, Jeff Welton can turn your mic on and let you ask a question live of either Jeff or one of his expert guests. So Nautel goes to a lot of time, trouble, and money to put these Transmission Talk Tuesdays together. And as an industry, we really appreciate this, and I sure do as well. All kinds of things, from IP transmission to transmitter repairs to transmitter site considerations like what's coming up here, and just a really wealth of information that Nautel makes available, as well as all the other resources on their website. So go register at nautel.com/webinars and click on Transmission Talk Tuesday, and you can get yourself registered. It's really quick and easy to register. They'll send you an email the day before and an hour before, and that's all they will bother you about that. Check it out. Thanks a lot, Nautel, for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. Look who's here. Bill Bennett is here. You toss a headset on there, young man, and let's see if we've got you on the right.
Check. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep,
there we go.
That's the right one.
Okay. Number 4.
Good deal. Bill, it's good to see you, man.
My friend, it is great to see you too.
You are providing an interesting service at the presentations here.
Yes.
You Enco has been here for several years, providing big screen TVs with some interesting information on them. Tell us what Enco is doing.
Right on. Cool. Yeah. Thank you. It's so we have this product that we call Encapsula, right, which is an automated AI-based caption technology historically used by television broadcasters to stay compliant with FCC regulations.
Yeah.
But over time, we find that there have been finding many other uses for it. And one of it is, one of these uses is to send captions to large video monitors, where people in a room can be watching what is being said on these caption displays in real time. So if somebody is maybe a little deaf or hard of hearing, or maybe doesn't natively speak the language that's being said, they can look at these monitors and see what's being said. And at the same time, it's also saving transcripts, which has a cool opportunity for radio broadcasters, and repurposing audio.
Well, you mean all those things I said?
Oh, yeah. It's in writing.
The dad jokes, too?
Oh my God. The best ones. The worst ones are in writing. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fine.
So if you pay me, I will delete them.
So that's Encaption. And you've had that product for a few years.
Since 2006, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're showing something, giving additional functionality at this show.
A big word I love is repurposing.
Yeah.
Right? And actually, a key word I use in these presentations that, like I gave yesterday, is it's just data. Once you start digitizing audio, speech, and turning into text, you can do all kinds of things with it. You know, there's a radio station in Washington, D.C., WAMU, that using Caption, the Caption 24/7, their radio program to their website. They have a large deaf and hard of hearing community with Gallaudet University nearby. And those folks who can't hear can't enjoy radio. And, of course, that's a news station in a market where lots of big things are happening.
Yeah.
And if you can't hear what they're saying, it is no meaning to you. But if you can read the captions, you can read what's being said on there. It's cool.
Wow. It seems like the first time I ever saw Encaption, maybe Gene Novacek is the one who showed it to me.
Who could well have been.
And what he said, we're making possible radio for deaf people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is the continuation in reality of that coming to our, you know, right in front of us.
So to translate, did you want to?
So we also were showing, we have a real-time translation engine that does a couple of dozen different languages. So we were showing German for the first sessions yesterday, doing real-time translations from, so you see English on top and then the German below. Earlier we were playing with Spanish and French and Dutch and Danish.
Oh, my God.
So this is Dane County, right? Got to try Danish. And that's kind of neat. We'll be showing more of that, too, at NAB coming up.
How long a list of languages do you have?
I think it tops out at like 31 or
something. Oh, my
goodness.
Oh. One you don't have, I'm sure, Pig Latin. You don't have Pig Latin.
Well,
yeah.
Did I just say this is just data, which means we can build that. We can make anything into Pig Latin.
Now, I'm sure you've already had this idea, but
sure.
Next is AI 3D rendering of sign language.
That would be amazing.
To go along with it, right?
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
Yeah, send me a royalty. That'd be great.
Okay, got it. Kirk, what a blast. You know, this event is like family. This is every year, it's a favorite show, and it's family here. And it's just great to see everybody.
It's great to have you on and putting on a free plug, but there is a cost. You have to go find a guest.
Right on it.
Okay.
Great. Headset off to...
To Linda.
Awesome.
Make sure you take it off. I don't have the angry audio headphone disconnectors. Chris, you want to come back in, or are you out roaming? There we go. Hi, Linda. Come on in. Come on. Come close. There we go. We can all fit together here.
There you go.
Oh, and we're going to get a selfie here. Hi, everybody. Okay, cool. All right. So we're, again, at the Madison, Wisconsin show, the Wisconsin Broadcaster Association Broadcasters Clinic, or Broadcast Engineering Clinic. Broadcasters Clinic. There you go.
Right.
We just assume it's engineering, if it's a clinic. Linda Bond, hi.
Hi.
Good to see you. I'm going to move this out of your face a little bit so the camera can catch you.
Okay, great.
The camera loves you, Linda.
So tell me what you're doing here this year.
Oh, boy. I am helping the Broadcasters Clinic Committee and the Wisconsin Broadcasters to put on one of the best shows that we do, and that is Broadcasters Clinic. We pull from 24 different states in attendance, and right now we are doing the exhibitors reception and the luncheon, and we provide a lot of educational material that is up to date. We just got done with a panelist that talked about the future of radio.
Of AM radio.
AM radio.
And Chris is going to fill us in on that in just a few minutes.
But, right.
Yeah.
And then Chris did a session. You've done a session, and everything was well received.
Yeah.
We're doing everything we can to further the engineers.
I'm going to have to read the encaptioned transcript because I was here setting up.
Linda is we call her kind. She's a fellow engineer now.
Uh-huh.
As part of part of the group. She has been so involved and so helpful in her role back with SBE and then with the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association with programs for engineers, for building this up to be a premier event for engineers. That's all Linda. That's all on Linda. So she's an honorary engineer. And we're so fortunate to have her around because she really is the glue that kind of puts it together. The committee comes and goes, and you know, Linda has just been, you know, a factor in this for such a long time. And we love her to death.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate, I'm an SBE fellow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that, I love that portion as well. The engineers have my heart.
Yep.
And always will. And until, I think I've tried to retire a couple of times.
We haven't let her yet.
That's right.
She's tried.
I've tried.
So,
but,
I'm sorry, I'm going to ask a couple quick questions. You said there are people here from 24 different states. About what's the attendance? What's the engineering attendance?
Usually around 150 to 200.
Uh-huh.
We have people from, I just talked to someone that he has 4 years here, and he's from Alaska. He comes every year.
Is that John?
That's John.
John mm-hmm. Antonov. Yeah.
Right. And it is one show that I keep getting told over and over. You just can't miss it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of great shows out there.
Well, notwithstanding my presentation, the engineering presentations are really top-notch.
Right.
You learn what's going on in the industry right now. And then a few times they take you back to fundamentals. Things, hey, here's something you haven't thought about for a while that you need to be on top of.
Right. And one thing the committee always asks itself when it's doing the selection of the things is, would I send my engineer here and have him miss 2 days or 3 days of work when I really need him at the stations because he represents us? And if we answer yes, then we're good to go. You know, but if there's something I'm not for sure about, then we'll revisit it as the committee because we want the content to be just top notch.
And leaving work, that's no longer a factor. As Chris and I both know, we've been working for our stations while we're here.
Exactly. Right.
You know, handling
connected. Yeah.
Maybe Chris didn't have an emergency. I've already had a couple of emergencies.
Right.
That you know, but you know, these days you can handle most of it from a laptop.
You really can. But the smaller stations, especially in Wisconsin, that are up in Rylander, and they only have one engineer, and that engineer is here. They want to make sure that engineer is getting.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And a lot of times they can't go to NAB or anything else.
Exactly.
So this is their best opportunity to get some education.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we pride ourselves on that. The committee is phenomenal. And thank you for being a part of that committee. And we have representation of the committee from Illinois and Wisconsin, of course.
Hey, can we, do you think we could get to Kyle over here on the show?
I'm sure we can. I have to go find him.
Yeah, if you go find him.
He's walking around there.
We haven't promoted it yet, but near the end of this show, This Week in Radio Tech, coincides with the end of the lunch period and the exhibitor period here, and there's going to be a giveaway. And not that our TWRT listeners are eligible because they're not here, but there's going to be a giveaway here, and we're going to try to carry that live. We're going to walk over to the booth where that's going to be held.
Perfect. So, you'll have fun, I'm sure.
Good deal.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good to see you.
And I'll go get Kyle.
Yeah. Okay. And there's Keith. Hey. Yeah, we're ready for Keith. Sure. Oh. Here, hang on 1 second. Oh, you know. Hi. How you doing, Paul? Good to see you. Yeah, here. Put that on and.
Hello.
Good to see you, Paul McLean, ladies and gentlemen, with Radio World.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Really good to see you.
Were you? Thank you. Good to see you. Were you on a panel here a little while ago?
Yes, I've been. I was honored to be asked to moderate two panels today.
Okay.
One was this morning about the future of AM radio.
Okay.
which is obviously there's a lot of interesting things happening in AM radio right now. And then this afternoon at 4:45, we have a panel about artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
In
radio. Yeah,
that's a really sexy, cool topic. It's mind-blowing.
Isn't that interesting that you're on a panel where a lot of the world thinks AM is going away and may soon be gone, and then you're on a panel that may represent some future. I've got two radio stations that are going with some overnight AI jocks within the next few weeks.
Are you?
Yeah, we're signed up with you know the big vendor that's doing this, and just waiting for the automation company to get their import routine set up to accept their tracks.
Excellent. Yeah. So were there any hesitations or concerns that you had going into the whole thing that, you know,
at my station group, I'm part owner of about 18 stations now, and one of our general managers, Joey Cummings, out in American Samoa, he's been playing with AI voices for a long time. We've got a number of liners that are AI voices, and he does such a great job with music under and swooshes and stuff. You can't tell. They really sound like top-notch VO people. However, we certainly have heard AI voices. The first couple times I heard them, I thought, wow, that's fantastic. And then the third time I heard the same voice, I thought, okay. And the fourth time, I know exactly how he's going to inflect that word and that word and that word. And after a while, you think it reminds you of a drum machine from the 1980s. You could tell it was a drum machine, right? And so then this has been 5-6 years ago,
yeah,
when some of this vocalization was beginning, and so we became a little disenamored with the idea, because after hearing it for a while, you could kind of, okay, here's how he's going to say that word, and your brain just said, this is not organic,
right?
So I think that has improved an enormous amount, and maybe still has a ways to go, but I'm looking to where I can't tell that from a person. Now, that's let alone from the content part of it. So I hope you're going to be, you know, the people at, is it Futuri? They've been working on content acquisition.
Yeah, that's an important part of their chain. And as you allude to, we're putting together multiple technologies here that have been advancing at different paces over several years. And the voice synthesis part is one of the important ones, but it's not what makes it notable to us now.
Yeah,
it's this combination of tools that allow you to apply, you know, sifting through massive amount of information, doing generative AI, creating scripts for those voices to voice, plugging it all together, creating social posts out of it. So it's sort of the string of those functions together, and the various organizations that I've talked to who are doing these things have their own concerns with various pieces of it. You know, one organization will say, it's time-consuming for us to make sure that it's safe. So that's one of the questions I'll ask our panelists today, is how much labor do you have to put in to doing quality control, to creating the guardrails, to programming? Then others will talk about whether the voices are will be sufficiently high quality over extended periods of time. So a lot of broadcasters seem to be using them for very short bits, you know. But these are my perceptions, and what I may learn differently today.
And
a lot of this is changing very quickly. There's just so many ways AI can be used, and that's just the generative AI creative. There's all the other functions in the back end. You know, I had a broadcaster who's here, an engineer who's here at the event today, tell me that his organization, Christian Broadcaster, they get a lot of emails coming in, and some of them are from people who are mentally troubled and are in trouble, suicidal.
Yeah.
And so they're using AI to sift through that and identify that kind of a thing right away so that it can get action. So, I mean, that's like a back-end business function, but it's important.
And what is, as editor of Radio World, what kind of articles come out of Radio World regarding an event like this one?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of times the value for us will be in previewing it to make sure that people are aware of what's coming up. And there's a whole season right now. We're sort of in the middle or coming to the end of the fall season where there's a whole bunch of shows in August and September and October, and folks like yourself are just going boom, boom, from one to the next. And we want to make sure that people know what's going to be there. I attend the sessions, I walk in the exhibits, and I look for story ideas. I look for themes that we should be covering. I look for people to profile. I'm always asking exhibitors, themselves or engineers themselves, are you involved in any projects that we could turn into a story or to feature in our next ebook about new studios or about trends in AOIP, these kind of things that are important themes. And so I love being able to show real world instances of recent applications. And so these shows can give me those ideas.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, thanks so much, Paul, for stopping by. I appreciate it. Pleasure to see you.
Thanks for all you do, and keep up the good work.
I look forward to my Radio World in the mailbox in a couple weeks or so, and there it is.
Well, you guys have been an important partner, meaning Telos Alliance, to us, and I appreciate everything that they do, but yourself as well. I know how hard you work, so keep up the good work, all right?
Thank you, Paul. Let's see. We've got Chris Tarr is out finding some folks. I'm sorry. You are? Oh, I thought that wasn't until 1:20. Is it now?
Oh, thanks.
Oh, 1:15 in there. Gotcha. All right. Well, tell you what then. We're going to tell you what. Suncast, I need you to grab our commercial for Broadcast Bionics, a recorded commercial for Bionics, and let us do that while we get the other camera connected here. All righty? If you can do that, I know that's short notice, Suncast. We're going to go follow the grand prize giveaway in just a minute, so stand by. And now we'll see this from Broadcast Bionics. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Bionic Studio. The Bionic Studio brings all audience interaction to the fingertips of a production team in radio, TV, and podcast. Our workflow-led system is working 24/7 around the world for small broadcasters and national and international networks. Our telephony module, Bionic Talk Show, allows cost-effective centralization, remote operation, scalability, and resilience across an entire network of stations, but at the same time is used in single-studio self-op environments. Social media curation and activity is now considered a broadcast-critical part of programming. Bionic Social means the studio isn't overwhelmed with a wall of interaction from an ever-growing number of social platforms. We combine SMS, MMS, and email together with a speech-to-text service for listeners using smart speakers. We enable studio teams to curate, filter, and display all platforms in one place, and post text, images, and video content to multiple platforms in one operation. Effortless collection of video content with Bionic Director has helped position some of the world's most successful stations as leaders in viral content, generating appointments to listen and free marketing via retweets and shares. Bionic Contest enables end-to-end tracking of on-air competitions, live reads, and prizes. These could be on-air contests, automated SMS entry, or online. Anywhere and Skype TX for Radio brings high-quality audio and video contribution into the studio with ease. No need for dedicated PCs to run different applications. Everything is controlled within the Bionic Studio UI. And incoming connections are visible to users along with all other platforms. Our codec integration enables connection, algorithm configuration and directory to a wide range of IP and ISDN codecs. The Bionic Studio, a unique suite of products designed to enable your talent to work smarter.
Really? Is the ad still on?
You're on.
Oh, I'm on. Hey, cool. Hey, everybody. We're kind of mobile here. We're going to go over to where the grand prize giveaway is. So let's go do that. Follow me. We're going to the booth of ANCO, not to be confused with ENCO. Hey, he's right here. Come here. Hey, I'm Kirk. How you doing? Hi, Scott. What is ANCO?
We're a full-service tower erection and maintenance company.
Awesome. And you're live on our podcast, This Week in Radio Tech. About 3,000 engineers watch this.
Oh, wonderful.
And we came here to do the big giveaway, right?
Awesome.
Tell me what we're giving away. If you want to hold that up there, you can tell the engineers what's going on with that.
It's a Milwaukee drill, an impact combo kit with an extra battery.
Oh, man. I just built a radio station in Oxford, Mississippi, and I don't have one of these, but our general manager does. I put that thing to so much use. It was fantastic.
On all our crews, and they're awesome. Yeah. They last forever. They're amazing.
Well, let's see how we're going to give this away. If you want to put the volume down a bit on that, good. All right. Here we are with Michelle and Jim. So how's this giveaway work?
Well, we're figuring that out.
Okay, good. About time somebody did.
What we're going to do, I think, first of all, is ask everyone who has a royal flush to come up.
Oh, okay. So on the speakers, you're going to do that? Okay.
I'm going to do it right now.
Jim, go ahead.
So everybody who's participating in the poker hand, everybody, you pick your five cards for your hand out of the cards you've collected from all the booths. So basically, I believe there's a number of you with royal flushes, which would be the highest hand. So everybody with a royal flush, come over to AMCO's booth. It's booth number 5.
You know, I hear people still talking out there. Yeah. Hey, everybody, we're doing a big giveaway, a big, big giveaway. And listen to what Jim says here. Jim, tell them what they won.
Well, they will win a Milwaukee tool. It's a combination cordless drill and impact driver.
Awesome. Well, so we're waiting for a few people to show up with their cards, right? Yep. Hey, there's one.
Yep. So we'll give everybody, we'll give them like 2 more minutes or so. And here we got more people coming.
Look at this.
Everybody with royal flushes.
Oh, royal flushes. How did people get these cards, Jim?
Well, they stopped by every booth.
Yeah.
Everybody was given a deck of cards, and they were picking up cards, visiting the exhibitors, and picking up cards and collecting.
All right. Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 royal flushes.
Royal flush.
So far, we're up to 5 royal flushes. Anybody else?
Jim, for engineers who don't get out much, what's a royal flush?
I'm not sure.
Michelle, do you know what a royal flush is? Okay. We have a few engineers don't. Oh my goodness, that looks important. What's a royal flush?
It's 5 in a row, top 5 cards.
10, Jack, Queen,
yeah,
King,
yeah.
Ace,
and same suit.
Yes, of the same suit. Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. All right, that's not the only royal flush here, though, right?
We got a few.
Okay.
There's not the only ones.
All righty. Okay. With the diamonds. Wow.
The Joker
is
count.
Wild.
We were told
Joker is wild.
The Jokers are not wild.
Uh-oh.
Good try, though, Bob. Leave it to Bob.
So we have some royal flushes, but we also have some almost royal flushes. So, all right.
Line up in a row next.
Let's go over here to where the action is.
All right. I'll take your hand. Go ahead, cut the deck and take a card. All right.
Six of hearts.
Cut the deck, take a card.
Four of diamonds.
So six of hearts.
Here's James Nelson.
Cut the deck, take a card.
And a win. Oh, yeah. Six of diamonds.
Six of diamonds. All right.
Okay.
Cut the deck, take a card.
Oh, Queen of Spades.
Queen of Spades. That's the high card to beat right now.
All right, cut the deck, take a card.
Let me think about that.
Jack of Diamonds.
Sorry.
Go ahead, cut the deck and take a card.
Come on, Will.
Three of Hearts.
All right, cut the deck, take a card.
Oh, Jack of Clubs.
Jack of Clubs. Close.
I cut it and take a card.
Eight of Diamonds.
And finally, Richard.
Got your hand?
Huh?
Cards.
You got it right there?
All right, let me see your royal flush.
Oh, I don't have that.
Oh, okay. That? Yeah. This is just people who got royal flushes. All right. Anyone else with a royal flush? All right. Okay, whoever's got the high card then.
Oh, my goodness.
Peter Allen. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, you guys, this is the first time we've done this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was.
Little interview. Who are you?
My goal in life. Oh my goodness! So I'm a broadcast systems engineer for the ECB, Educational Communications Board for the state of Wisconsin. We handle all the public broadcasting. So public television is kind of my main baby, But then I also just got promoted into broadcast IT department. So I'm also doing radio, no weather, emergency alert system for the state as well. I also have a radio show on WORT in town for a music show. Do a lot of their live band stuff there. I'm actually in the process of finishing a pilot episode for my first TV show as well, a music TV show. Hopefully getting that on air as well. I play music. I do all sorts of stuff. So, yeah.
That sounds like a lot of screwing around. So yeah, the Milwaukee Drill will help you out.
Yes, I could. And I just bought a house, my first house. So that will be very, very helpful for all the work I will be needing. Thank you.
Kyle Geisler is taking their picture right now, and I want to get Kyle over here to chat with us for this minute. Congratulations, Peter.
Yeah, a little.
Hey, it worked, though. So would you mind if we talk to you for a second, Kyle?
Sure.
Uh-oh, lights are going out. Uh-oh.
Not done yet.
Kirk, turn the lights out. Okay.
Did you hit the on off?
There we go.
Okay.
Who knew?
Engineer.
Who knew?
Figured it out.
Who's this real quick? Andrew Kennedy. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
So you were the official here.
Yeah, I'm apparently the most experienced poker player on the board. So,
well, I'll come here to talk to Kyle.
So, all right.
Kyle, what's been your job in putting this whole Wisconsin clinic together?
Well, the Broadcasters Clinic Committee is the one who sets everything up for this event. They decide who the speakers are going to be, what the events are going to be, what we do with the exhibitors. I'm here to carry out their vision.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me about what you think this year's been in terms of turnout, interest, what people have learned, enthusiasm compared to past years. Has it been a good show?
We've had a strong show since the pandemic ended, and it's we've really continued at that level at this where we are right now. We had a lot of great interest this year in the speakers that we had, and we had a great lineup. And I've heard lots of positive feedback already from the attendees about the sessions that we've had so far. Of course, we have many more to go.
Yeah.
But great feedback.
The way you guys do this, Tuesday tends to focus on radio issues. Wednesday, a bit of each, and legal issues maybe?
Yeah, so Wednesday is mostly issues that apply to all broadcasters. Yeah. So they can be TV, they can be radio, but they tend to be topics that are relevant to whoever you might be in broadcasting.
And then Thursday, tomorrow, the final day, is more TV focused.
Exactly, precisely, yep.
Kyle, thank you very much. I really appreciate your hard work and Michelle's hard work putting this whole thing together. All right, tell you what, we're going to take another break. We're going to hear from Gary Morrill with about MaxConnect's wireless offerings, about how to get high-speed data and get it reliably with almost no packet loss, static IP address, all that stuff. Gary Morrill is going to tell you about why he loves it. We'll be right back.
I'm Gary Morrill, Midwest Regional Director of Engineering for Alpha Media. When I first spoke with Josh Bone about MaxConnect, he told me they'd work great for remote transmitter sites where connectivity was a challenge. And you know, he's absolutely right. We even have sites where we're using this as a backup to our STL using MaxConnect's dual carrier option, and it works perfectly. We also have times where we need to be able to get out to a venue where it's kind of challenging because everybody and his brother is trying to stream video at the same time, like at a big sporting event. And you know what? Our data gets through every time because it's prioritized packet data. It works for us. It'll work for you. MaxConnect. Check it out.
Hey, we're back. All right. Hey, I'm just back to adjusting the controls so we can hear what we're doing here. And we get to turn a couple more things up here. All right. There we go. So here we are, the fun of producing a live show, well, kind of by yourself at this end with the Suncast running the controls. Hey, Bill, I'll tell you what, you can, if you want to, take this camera around, and if you want to just walk the floor, that would be awesome if you want to do that. Okay. And if I can't see the preview. Oh, wait, Suncast could double box this. And we could see you walking around.
And is your audio active on this? Suncast, do you have audio from that iPhone? Yeah. I think you, yeah, okay. So tell you what, you're the roving reporter. Just go show us what's going on here. Bill Bennett, he's awesome. I really appreciate all of his help. I don't know where Chris Tarr got off to. My goodness. Hey, so when engineers all get together here and look at you know, we see presentations on the issues of the day. That's a really, really helpful thing. More than helpful. I mean, it's essential that engineers, you know, continue to educate themselves on what's going on. I was just looking here at this morning. Let me scroll to it here. They already had that future of AM radio, and if we can get Chris Tarr back over here. Hey, Dan. Hey, if you see Chris Tarr, send him back over here. Thanks. He's hard to miss. There he is. Well, good. I couldn't see you. You were behind the lights. Chris, I really want to... Oh, and Bill Bennett is off walking around.
There we go.
First time with headphones, everybody?
Yeah, well, you know, they're new to me.
We're going to get together on one half of the box, so we'll kind of cozy up here.
Oh, let's see. You're going the wrong way.
Well, where's me? Oh, okay.
Let's dance.
I do that a lot. Well, in the left pane, you can see Bill Bennett walking around. And Suncast, if the frame rate just gets too bad there, then yeah, I can probably drop it. I want to ask you about the future of AM.
Yes.
The future of AM. Here, let me fix your hair.
Yeah, thank you.
Future of AM panel this morning. What got discussed and what got settled, if anything?
Well, you know, I don't know that we settled anything. It was David Layer, Paul McLean, and David Oxenford.
Yeah.
And myself. And really, it was discussing some of the proposed rules for automakers to include AM radio in their cars.
Yeah.
It started out kind of as a policy debate, and then I got off tangent a little bit, which actually kind of worked out. I used the phrase stepping on rakes.
Oh.
As broadcasters, that's what we're doing with AM.
That sure brings a visual to mind.
It's like, you know, we can't get out of our own way.
Yeah.
Part of the reason that AM, you know, we're having to fight to keep AM in the cars because the regulatory stuff is, well, you know, EAS and emergency alerting, which, you know, it's all good. But, you know, if I use the phrase, everybody sits around and says, oh, it's just the AM. You know, everybody at the station. Oh, is there silence? Oh, it's just the AM. Don't worry about it. You know, you're off the air. It's just the AM. Don't worry about it. And that seems to be a prevailing attitude. And then I used the story about an AM that we had in La Crosse that when I bought it, it was like a mishmash of satellite talk programming. I had an MW1 transmitter that barely worked, old processing that had a buzz in it. It had an old PCL 505 STL on it. It was just a mess.
Sure.
I replaced everything, transmitter, processing, STL, everything. We put a music format on it. And within one book, it showed up in the ratings.
Oh.
And so, I mean, it proves that if you pay attention to the quality of the work and the quality of the programming, AM is still absolutely viable. You know, there's a lot of markets where AM is still in the top 10, top five. So the problem is, though, is a lot of times we just look at the AM as being something, a throwaway. We pay more attention to our streams than we do AMs in a lot of cases. So, you know, the kind of consensus was, yeah, you know, we need to get other people taking AM seriously, but we've got to start taking it seriously ourselves and stop stepping on brakes every time we go to do something.
You've kind of make me think of when we add more outlets to what we do, podcasts, on-demand stuff, snippets on social media,
sure,
streams. I mean, almost everybody's streaming now, and finally, and it you don't have to drop something or forget something else or deprecate something just because the new shiny toy is available, and yet that's the kind of the natural thing to do.
It is.
We're focused on streams now, so we're not going to focus. We're not going to remember our AM.
And you could do both, you know. And that's the thing is people forget. You don't have to choose.
Yeah.
You can do it all. And with AM, we've kind of just decided that nobody cares about it. And if we don't care about it, nobody else is going to care about it.
Sure. Sure.
And so we're asking the government to care about it, yet we're not taking a moment to step up and do it. So,
you know, that was really kind of what I was pushing today was, you know, we have to step up and care, and we have to step up and show the world that it's important to us. And then it'll become important to everybody else. I also mentioned how, you know, AM revitalization has been more of an AM owner revitalization than an AM band revitalization.
Interesting. Yeah.
We have a case in the state here where we had a 25 kilowatt AM drop two of its towers and go to 250 watts because they had to translate. So how does that help?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it certainly helps the owner, you know, make a viable business, which is important. I'm not taking that away at all.
Sure.
But here we're saying, well, AM is important in an emergency. AM is important because everybody can receive it. AM is this and that. Oh, and by the way, I'm dropping my power to 10%, and because I don't care, I've got this FM translator now. Mm-hmm. So that, again, goes back to we as an industry need to take that more seriously.
Wow. It's tough for owners. Now, and, you know, speaking of a station that had to decide, do we maintain our three-tower array or do we go to a single tower? One of my stations did that.
Yep.
And
it's understandable.
It didn't hurt us during the day, but at night we're 53 watts,
right.
Whereas we used to be, I forget how much, but we used to be a higher power at night, although we now have a translator on it as well. So, it's tough. And we can't even find, literally, we can't find somebody to cut the grass.
Right.
Literally, I mean, we offer money and people say they'll show up and they don't show up.
Yeah.
We give them, we offer them their asking price. We're not setting the price. How much do you want to cut these seven acres, you know?
Right. Well, that's, you know, those are all realities. And unfortunately, with AM revitalization, we didn't really look at any of that. We looked at the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
We didn't look at, you know, how does local regulation affect tower siting? How does, natural disasters in multiple towers? You know, is there a way we can make it easier to light multiple towers to save money? You know, things like that really should have been part of this weren't. And so it's not to say that this was all bad, because it's not. But again, it's kind of like if we want to save AM radio, we have to start with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and start with us working up rather than up down.
It's interesting that the few stations in the country where all they have is an AM, right? Of course, 100% of their focus goes to that. Okay, maybe they're streaming too, but that's what they have is their AM. And you find a lot of enthusiasm for that AM, whether it's they put on high school sports or the school lunch menu report, remember we used to do the hospital report?
Oh, yeah. The obituaries.
The obituary, yeah.
Tradio.
Yeah,
and those, you know, obviously they have a vested interest in it working. And it's also proof that it can if you focus on it. And then there's a lot of these where you've got five FMs and an AM.
Yeah.
What are you going to pay attention to?
Yeah.
And we need to start realizing that those stations are viable. And the only reason why they're not at this point is because we treat them as if they're not.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, it's you're going to get out of it what you put into it.
You know, sometimes I feel like I'm such the canary in the coal mine. With my stations, because oftentimes, you know, the way I feel about my stations is either indicative of the way the industry feels, or, I mean, it's I'm not saying it's a leading or a lagging indicator. I'm just kind of right in there with everybody else.
Sure.
One of our AMs, though, is a little black gospel station. Mm-hmm. We got an FM for it, and so we're on FM2, which is nice. But that little AM station in Indianola, Mississippi, has an enormous listenership.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't use it for sales, but Nielsen does say it's the number. I mean, and I realize it's just once a year survey, but you know, it's the most popular station in that county.
Right.
So AMs can certainly be viable. You want to hit your listeners with what interests them.
Well, and you want to also, you know, use the, a lot of times people don't think you use the FM to drive to the AM as well, because these translators, some of them don't have very good signals. AM signals are much better.
Yeah.
And really, that was also part of what translator was supposed to help you do, was have people discover the AM
frequency. Oh, well.
You know, use the FM to promote listening on the AM. And that really hasn't happened either. But, you know, neither here nor there. I just think that it's a hard sell to say, well, we need to regulate manufacturers into putting these radios in cars if we don't care.
And,
you know, so we need to prove to them, we need to put our skin in the game and say, we're going to work to make this, you know, make this happen. But we need your help. And then we can talk about really revitalizing.
We got a couple more things to talk about, but I want you, if you don't mind, to chat about this USB analog audio gizmo.
Oh, this thing is fantastic.
And I'll let you take full center stage there, because In fact, I need to go grab somebody, and I'll be right back.
All right, you go grab somebody.
He was here, and he left. So,
all right. Well, I am going to talk about the Angry Audio USB analog audio gizmo. So if you have a studio or production studio, even, like a hobby studio, and you're trying to run your computer into your mixer, a lot of times what you'll do is you'll just take the little mini jack, you'll plug it into the sound card, and you'll plug it into your mixer. Well, what happens? A lot of times you get a whine, and what that is that's the clock frequency of the CPU getting into the audio, creating that whine. Or you'll get a buzz because of lack of isolation, all those sorts of things. How do you prevent that? Well, you can get a sound card, you can get a transformer, or you can get one of these gizmos, which are fantastic. It's basically, you plug this into the USB jack on your computer, and you've got audio in and audio out in these nice studio hub connectors. And what that allows you to do is give you really, really high quality audio. The AD conversion happens in the box. It doesn't happen in the computer. So by the time the audio hits your computer, it's clean. It's been through a transformer. All of the noise is taken out of it. And it just works. And it looks like an audio card to your computer. So you can use it for, again, broadcasting. You can use it for streaming. If you're into that, maybe you have a home studio that you want to do production in. This is the gizmo. And you can see where it says stop the whining. And what that whining is, like I mentioned, the whining is the clock frequency of the CPU getting into the audio. You can stop that with this gizmo by having that isolation. So get it today. You can contact your favorite broadcast dealer for more information on these. You can check them out online, angryaudio.com. When these problems come up, you say you get solved when you get angry.
What I like, one thing I like about that, other than the extremely clean audio, it comes with the cables.
Yes.
It comes with the adapters.
And here's the thing. Look at that.
And
boom, you're done.
Even the USB and both the male and the female XLRs. So you don't have to buy extra stuff. It comes with it.
Yep. You're all set to go right out of the box. Ready to play.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Awesome. All right. And hey, Chris, next I've got Martin Reyes is here.
Hola, ¿cómo está? Hey, how's it going?
Oh.
¿Cómo estás, Kirk?
Muy bien, muy bien.
Bien, bien. Hey, un placer. Bien, bien, gracias.
Yeah, okay.
¿Cómo está tu esposa?
Yeah, too fast, man, too fast. I'm still learning. I'm still learning. I've been saying some things to my wife that she doesn't like too much. Maybe tell me where I'm going wrong. This is Martin Reyes. See, we can move which way? That way? Yeah, we can move this way. Okay, good. That's why I'm being in the middle of the camera.
There you go.
So, and Martin works with Broadcasters General Store. And you obviously you speak English, but if you engineers have customers or you need some, you yourself speak Spanish, there you go. Martin is there.
Yeah, si hablas español, you speak Spanish, I'll do my best to assist you.
So you know
Spanglish. I speak Spanglish. You've met
my wife,
yes.
Carmen, and I've been trying to learn Spanish for her. I learned the most important phrase is "Lo siento, cariño, es mi culpa." Right?
And your wife is very smart for teaching you how to say
well,
that.
I learned it myself.
My wife is. I know Spanish, and I can't even say that to my wife.
Which what did I just say?
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
You are right.
You're right. Yes, it's my fault. Yeah.
Yeah. It's my fault.
Now, but there's another phrase I've been saying to her that she doesn't like so much.
And what's that?
cariño, tú eres mi reina del pantano sucio. And she doesn't like that.
What? Why not? Well, tell me. No,
tell me what I said.
What, you tell me what you think you said.
I think I'm saying, sweetheart, you are the queen of my dirty swamp, or you're my dirty swamp queen.
Right.
And she doesn't like that.
I'm going to try that with my wife tonight. See what she tells me.
Well, I have an excuse. I can feign, I didn't know what I was saying, sweetheart. I'm sorry.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you're learning Spanish.
Yeah.
Are you picking up naughty words a lot quicker?
I'm trying not to pay attention to those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because somehow non-speaking Spanish people learn that.
Well, it's fun. It's fun to learn naughty words. I try to take clean words and put them together in ways that are undesirable. Like, tú eres mi reina del pantano sucio. You're my dirty swamp queen, or queen of the dirty swamp.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about what is popular at BGS. What do you guys tend to be? What are engineers buying these days? What's on their mind?
What kind of Altus. Altus right now.
Altus consoles?
Altus. Altus is, we're getting calls for Altus. They want to know why is this different than me being in the studio with my studio setup.
So it, in case you haven't been paying attention, this is a software audio console that you control using a browser. Literally, you don't have to run an app. You don't have to have one computer or another. You can run it, you know, on a tablet, a phone. Best to run it on a laptop with a touchscreen or a computer with a touchscreen, but you can run it with a mouse if you need to.
You could literally just on air time, get up from your bed, turn on the laptop, hot off that fader, and you're on air.
How do you know that's not what I do anyway?
or if something happens, long trip, hey, long dinner, and all of a sudden you got Altus in your bathroom and nobody knows.
So there is interest in virtualizing. And are people looking at that because of convenience, or maybe they think it's cheaper? What are they?
It's because you don't have to be in a big studio. You don't have to be in a big building with a lot of stations. You can literally just your kitchen dining table. You have your three tablets, and you're running your show. You know, and to me, it's like if you're flying here in a private jet, you could actually just run your show. You know. Well, there's more to it. But the reality of that is just like, you mean to tell me I don't have to spend all this for a studio setup?
Right. A lot of people look at any of these software or these browser-controlled broadcast functions, and they imagine that the mixing is going on there in the laptop, and it's not.
It's not.
So the bandwidth required to the device, to your laptop, to your computer home, the bandwidth is I'm not saying it's extremely minimal. You typically there's audio going back and forth for monitoring and for your contribution audio. And this is Opus Audio. It's WebRTC. So it can be 32, 64, 128 kilobits per second. I think there's an option for 320 kilobits. So you need to have an internet connection that would at least support a phone call or a Zoom meeting or a, you know, Google Meet. You need to have at least a modicum of bandwidth. But it doesn't have to be multiple megabytes of bandwidth. You're not actually moving LiveWire or Dante or anything like that over your internet connection.
Yeah, and I'm coming from analog. And doing the transition to this, I'm thinking about the Hispanic market.
Uh-huh.
That there's a lot of people, engineers, that don't know that this is there. And again, si ustedes no saben quieren más información de esto, I'm learning from Kirk. So I can tell you that we... To me, this is like, oh my God, I wish this was available, 10, 15 years ago when I was in radio.
So, Martin, we're going to take one more quick break.
Okay.
And if you wouldn't mind, I appreciate you coming by. I've got to do a quick break here Broadcast General Store. But if you wouldn't mind, if you would go grab one of your colleagues or somebody along the way and shoot them over here, we'll get a final word from somebody.
Okay.
Jim Armstrong, Paul Kriegler, anybody around there.
All right, okay. Will do.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you, Kirk. Appreciate it. Hey, and our show is brought to you in part by Broadcasters General Store. And one of the lines that they carry, and I appreciate Martin talking about the Axia Altus, but they also carry Broadcast Tools product line. And if you ever use Broadcast Tools, and I have for close to 30 years, I suppose, from back in the early days of their satellite switchers. Well, now they have the Audio Sentinel WebRJ. What that is, that's a Broadcast Tools next generation web-enabled two-channel stereo silence and phase monitor. It has an integrated, transparent 2x1 switcher. So if something goes wrong, your silence sensor can make the switch for you right there. That's pretty cool. It's designed to monitor two analog audio sources, one primary and a backup source, and when silence is detected on the primary input, it can automatically switch to the backup input with mechanical latched relays. So even if the power dies, it will keep going. Hey, Jim just showed up. Jim, I'm doing an ad for BGS.
Ah, okay.
And we're talking about the Broadcast Tools Audio Sentinel WebRJ.
Okay.
You've dealt with silence sensors
for
a long time. And then you've also dealt with a switcher that could switch, from one audio source to another, maybe to put you back on the air if your main died. The Audio Sentinel WebRJ is pretty cool because it's both in one. It has a silence sensor, but it has two inputs and one output. So it will switch for you when it. So
that's neat.
You don't have to put the logic together or go hit a button yourself or tell the disc jockey to go push a button. It automatically monitors and does the switch for you. Is that too loud or too soft?
It was a little loud.
Okay, I'll turn it down right here for you. How about that?
All right, thank you.
All right, good deal. Yeah, it was a little loud. Huh? What?
Well, I just didn't want to swallow the mic.
There you go.
Popping the peas.
And it's also accessible by an internet connection, so you can browse right into it in order to check out how it's doing. You can set some of the parameters for it. If power is lost, no problem. You don't go off the air. It simply stays with the last selected channel. As I said, it's a mechanical latched relay that keeps it on whatever it was on last. Power comes back on, it stays the same. Unless audio's gone away, then it switches to the other one. It has pluggable screw terminal blocks and an RJ45 jack for audio. It's fully RFI proof. It's really an awesome, awesome little box. It's a real convenience, especially for stations that maybe you haven't gone the whole audio over IP route. You still have some analog wiring in your station. This one device will handle a problem that has plagued a lot of radio stations. Your main audio goes away. You want to switch to backup audio. This monitors and switches both in the same box. It's the Audio Sentinel WebRJ from Broadcast Tools. Get it from Broadcaster's General Store at BGS. They are open for business all the time. Right now, you can call them at 352-622-7700. That's 352-622-7700. It's on their website. And the website is bgs.cc. And hey, if you speak Spanish, ask for Martin. He'll talk your language. Hey, man, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
This is my colleague, Jim Armstrong.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you. So tell me about this show. What is this? You see a lot of people?
Yeah, here? This is always a great show. It's the Midwest version. I kind of call it a TAB, right?
So yeah.
Texas Association of Broadcasters is a real big show for broadcast engineering, and this kind of is too. It's, I don't know whether it's, you know, centrally, they're both centrally located. So if you're looking at the map of the U.S., they're really just in the same
north and south of each other. Yeah,
but it's a great event. Always love coming up here to Wisconsin and seeing folks and getting out there because you see a lot of people you don't normally see at the bigger shows. Or if I come to town, I might not see some of these people. They specifically. We say. So it's nice to see them and get together and just kind of, you know, get to know what they're up to and show them new stuff.
Linda Bond was on a little while ago, and she mentioned that plenty of engineers here don't get funding to go to NAB.
No.
So this is their show.
If you think about it, you know, I mean, back to the early days when CBS radio kind of stopped sending guys to NAB, that was a big doing for us because we sat there and said, well, geez, oh no, what are we going to do? Oh, these engineers are not coming. Some of them come in their own dime, and some don't.
Yeah.
And you get the bigger guys. Here, a smaller show like this, you're going to get those guys. And that's really what we want to do, is we want to reach as many people as possible. So the WBA is a great organization, and they do a lot of work. This is not just thrown together. Right? Linda Bond and her team go through a lot to make this all happen.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a great event.
Yeah. We got to talk to Kyle Geisler and Linda, Linda Bond.
Yeah.
Hey, this afternoon, they got a couple sessions. I don't know if you're packing up and leaving, but I'm going to be here for this, the future of AI in radio. That'll be a little interesting.
Yeah. I don't know, man. As a former on-air guy,
Well, speaking of former on-air, we're going to back away from the camera. So,
yep.
Jim, look back over here.
I have destroyed more of these against a wall.
What? Now, for those who don't know, what are these?
These are carts.
Carts.
Cartridges.
Yeah.
8-track tapes. No, not quite. But similar in technology. So
it's an endless loop of tape.
Yep.
This one actually is empty, but it was at one point in life a 70-second cart. And if you want to know how much tape that takes, it's 44 feet of tape. You know how I know that? Because it says that right there on the back.
Yeah.
And what's your? Oh,
I've got a 70-second.
Oh, 43.8
yep.
feet. Okay.
So when I was my first real job, aside from being small market radio, I got a job at WEEI in Boston, and I was an all news station. I was a news editor.
Oh,
basically,
okay.
I ripped off all the audio from AP, UPI, CBS, whatever came in, and carted it up. That was what we did. So I would start my morning at 4 a.m., and I'd run through the station as fast as I could, and I would stack these up as high as I could, and I would walk like this. With two rows of
carts
to get back to my studio where I had a bulk eraser. And then you had your bulk, which was a belt.
Oh, yours was a belt style.
Yeah, belt style. So I would sat there, and I had a routine where I would drop it, and boom, boom, and you'd lay. And just, it was almost like Lucy Lucy Ball.
Lucy Arnaz, Lucille Ball.
When
yeah.
they're doing the candy.
The can- yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it was, if you got met, if you somebody distracted you for a second, it was a mess of carts.
It's like the pizza oven at Sam's Club, except it's a lot faster.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, tell you what, remember, you're tethered. There's a little, that tiny reel-to-reel tape recorder back there. I'll hold your headphones for a sec. Would you grab it? One more thing to show you. This is so cool. We appreciate SBE for letting us use their booth here. This is awesome. In here, put that back on. And now when you, okay, check out this little reel-to-reel tape machine. All right. It's an Iowa brand. And Jim, press the play button right there. Look at that. It runs. Oh, man. Now, when you see this running, what do you think of?
I think of all those movies that they had some secret recorder device hidden somewhere that wasn't a standard cassette deck. It's like a spy movie. To me, that looks like a spy device.
Well, now, wasn't, but there was a show on every week that had that.
Mission Impossible?
Yes, Mission Impossible. And so you think of that dun 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 dun, 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 dun. And your mission, Jim, should you decide to accept it, blah 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 blah. This tape will what?
Self-destruct
in
30 seconds.
I thought it was 5 seconds.
Or 5 seconds.
Whatever. And smoke would come out.
Yeah, yeah. So the story goes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to childhood.
Uh-huh.
So that was, I was born in 65.
Uh-huh.
So that show was 66, 67 ish. I was old enough that I would be in my crib, and the soundtrack would start, dun dun, and I would be standing there, and I would get out of the crib. My parents tell me to go in there just to listen to that song, and they'd have to pick me up and put me back in bed. So, Mission Impossible, Lalo Schifrin,
exactly, Lalo Schifrin, and that song was one of the first people ever heard that was written in 5/4 time. Now, the, also Dave Brubeck's song "Take Five"
yep.
is 5/4 time, but that theme song right there. I was told, I'm not a musician myself, but it's also in 5/4 time. Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
All right.
Yeah, it looks very spy-like, doesn't it? Government secret.
But, well, now it's kind of big, but it is cool. And all the memories that bring back. Jim, thank you so much, man.
Thanks. Sorry, I got to go tear down.
Yeah.
And then I got to head back to Cleveland. So.
Could Kenneth come say howdy for 1 second? We want to thank him on air. Thank you, Jim.
All right,
appreciate
you.
It. Kevin. Kevin Rupert, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah,
good.
You having a good show here?
Are you too tall for my camera?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, I've been thanking SBE for letting us use your booth. Tell me a little bit about is this national or local chapter?
Well, it's statewide, basically.
Statewide, okay.
I represent Chapter 24 here in Madison because we're the local chapter. We kind of take care of the booth at the Broadcasters Clinic, and the clinic is nice enough to let us have this booth here. Basically, we just bring some stuff to try to get people, when they walk by, to say hi and have something to look at and talk
we
about.
We sure did.
Yeah, we played that thing. It actually does run.
Yep.
So it was like, good morning, Mr. Phelps, when you see the thing running. And we over the years, we collected a lot of NAB carts.
Uh-huh.
One of them, the 31-minute cart back there, is actually something we used at our campus radio station when I was a student here at the UW. So it has a long history. So we just brought the stuff out here to have something to see. And when people pass by, they say, oh, I remember that. Or, wow, that was a real headache, that kind of thing. So we remember the history of tape.
I wish we ought to do a whole show on this sometime. Yeah. But we're out of time right now. Kevin, thank you so
yes.
much for letting us be here in your booth and giving us some electricity. I want to thank the hotel and Wisconsin Broadcasters for the great Wi-Fi and the great hospitality. We got to go. We're going to have a great show for you again next week, so hope you'll be with us. I'm Kirk Harnack, and for Chris Tarr, we'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech.